ironic newsflash. The co-founder of the Boycott, Divest, and Sanction movement against Israel says it will not apply to a vaccine from Israel for the coronavirus.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Okay, talking about an irony, I want to start this broadcast off because I'm going to tell you something. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. The Boycott, Divest, and Sanction movement against the State of Israel is an illegitimate social protest movement. And now they've just proved that they're an illegitimate social protest movement. How did they prove they were an illegitimate social protest movement? The co-founder of the anti-Israel Boycott, Divest, and Sanction movement, which urges complete boycotts of Israeli products, encouraged the movement's supporters to seek out one Israel-made product that they'll say is okay. If it materializes, and the Israelis, which they are working on this, come up with a vaccine to inoculate against the coronavirus, the BDS movement will not apply. In other words, those that support the BDS, Social Justice for Palestine, you could go ahead and save your life with an Israeli product. Just don't buy their fruit. So you tell me about what this movement's really about. And of course, we're in the middle of a pandemic. And Jordan, doesn't it just make sense that that's exactly what they do? Because we've said it since the beginning, they're a fraud.
Of course, it's a fraudulent organization. It's a political movement to try and undermine the state of Israel, the Jewish state of Israel. At the same time, when it comes down to their own lives, are they willing to risk that? Absolutely not. They're not willing to risk their own lives if there is a potential vaccine created by the apartheid state of Israel. I mean, they compare the Jewish state to a Nazi-like system of control and an apartheid system like South Africa. And yet, if you truly believe that, you wouldn't take their medicine. You wouldn't take their vaccines. You'd buy into some the conspiracy theories that they were going to poison you, right? But see, they know deep down that the Israelis aren't those kind of people, that they would never vaccinate people and do so in a harmful way, in a knowingly harmful way, intentionally to hurt other people, even those who are their enemies. So because they know the goodness of the hearts of the Israeli people and the doctors there and the medical care there, just like kind of how it's similar to here in the United States that we take care of the enemies when they are found on the battlefield. They understand the same process works with Israelis. Of course, this boycott, divest, and sanction everything except for, hey, if that vaccine could help us so we can continue our campaign to delegitimize Israel, we can go ahead and get that that Israeli vaccine.
Cooperating with Israel against the virus is the quote to begin with. We didn't consider it and don't consider it normalization, said the co-founder of the BDS movement. We don't consider that normalization. Than, you deal with the BDS movement for us at the UN on a regular basis, and this shows the hypocrisy of what a fraud they are.
Yeah, I don't have any tolerance for this, Jay. I mean, look, they consistently say that they want to wipe Israel off the map, eradicate the Jewish people, but before they
the
do...
Vaccine. Go ahead.
Well, right. They have to make sure that they wait long enough to get their life-saving vaccine from the innovative people before they wipe them off the map. But, Jay, I really do think Jordan made the right point here. Despite the fact that that is what is consistently coming out of the BDS movement, Israel once again rises to the occasion. And if this breakthrough happens, Jay, you know what they're going to do? They're going to make it widely available to anyone, friend or foe.
Right.
But while they do it, it's our job to call out BDS for what it is.
You know, the BDS movement should be very glad if the Israelis do come up with a solution to this. They better be very glad that the Israelis don't have a BDP movement, Boycott, Divest, Palestinians. And that's the states. I'm not talking about the individual people, but that's what it would be. You know, we're not going to sell anything to the Palestinians. So if we come up with a vaccine, we're not going to sell it to the Palestinians. They would never do that. That shows you the outrage of what it is. All right, we're taking your calls on this, of course, this whole development with the BDS and the Israel and how it relates to the coronavirus. We'll take your questions on the stimulus, other political questions as well. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ, April Matching Challenge, aclj.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org.
Everybody. So we've got this breaking news. The BDS co-founder says if Israel comes up with the vaccine on the coronavirus, we will not consider that something you have to boycott. We'll give an exemption. That does not mean we're normalizing relations with Israel, but we will take their vaccine if they have it or if they have medication to fight the coronavirus or cancer, for that matter, they said. It shows you the hypocrisy. We've been pointing out the hypocrisy of this movement for a long time, but just shows you the nature of it. And Jordan, this, I think, points to what the problem is with these movements, especially, and we're going to get into the coronavirus issue, obviously, but this shows you the hypocrisy. We've been dealing with BDS for a decade now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, remember, part of the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement is they boycott Israeli universities, including the Israeli research universities that would have the laboratories that would be working on these vaccines. So they boycott that, and they encourage their professors not to work with the professors from Israel, not to do joint programs with those Israeli institutes and Israeli universities and research centers. So they encourage the boycott there, and even the divestment. So by the way, the people who invest in those labs, some of them are major companies. They want those to divest from them, to no longer invest in them. And yet they are acknowledging these are the labs that could likely have the first vaccine available for the people around the world against COVID-19. And so they have changed their policy to say that even though they want to boycott those institutions and divest any kind of investment from the same laboratories that are creating this vaccine, that if those laboratories do create a vaccine, they will utilize it. And to me, like you said, Dad, it doesn't just show you how absurd this movement is. It shows how political it is in nature and self-serving. True, if they were truly believed that Israel was this horrible state of apartheid-like policies and Nazi-like kind of policies. And that's what they say. That's what they say in their propaganda. If they truly believed it, you wouldn't take their vaccine because you'd be standing on a higher moral ground by denying that. Instead, what does this group do? They make exceptions. Now, when these groups start making exceptions, I think it pokes a huge hole in their entire argument. So for me, this actually could be the end of BDS because it shows how absurd their movement is.
I'm going to go ahead and take calls on this 800-684-3110. If you're watching on Facebook, we encourage you to share it with your friends. We have somebody opposed, so we'll take it. Jim's calling from Oklahoma on line 2. Jim, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Hey, Seculo, I appreciate it, and you're a great patriot. I was a combat veteran, sworn to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Thank you for your service. Yes.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate yours. You stand up for our constitutional rights against the totalitarian left very effectively. But I think a meaningful dialogue has to begin with the truth, and the charter of the BDS move does not call for the abolition of Israel. There are legitimate claims that it is an apartheid, ethnic-cleansing state. It forbids marriage between Gentiles and Jews. And so it does not call
for the abolition. First of all, there's not the charter of the BDS movement. It's not really a charter. Their statement of organizational purpose says that Jerusalem could not be the capital of a Jewish state.
That is not the same as saying it should be abolition.
Jerusalem is the capital. I mean, Jim, I appreciate your service. We could agree to disagree, but don't you find it hypocritical? Let's get away from the abolishment of Israel. But don't you find it hypocritical that the BDS movement says, do not buy products from Israel under any circumstance? That's what the boycott, divest, that's the boycott part. Divest is the economic part, sanctions is, and then put sanctions on top of it. Don't you find it ironic, Jim? Hold it. Don't you find it ironic, Jim, that if Israel comes up with a vaccine, they make an exception? Go ahead.
No, I think it's selective and consistent.
It can't be selective and consistent because that's inconsistent. Selective and consistent. We will take your products that help us. We don't want your fruit because we can get that anywhere. But your coronavirus, if you get a vaccine, we'll take that. Which, by the way, I'm glad they would take it. Nobody wishes harm on anybody. I just think it's hypocrisy. But I appreciate you calling in. Than, what do you think?
I think that most of the BDS partners all around the world do advocate for wiping Israel off the map. Look, he might say that one particular vein or how it's exercised on a college campus doesn't advocate for that. But, Jay, we see this consistently in international bodies. The same people that advocate for BDS and promote it on the ground then go to the floor of the UN or go to the floor of the Security Council and advocate for the abolition of the Israeli state. So to try to separate the one intent from the other while at the same time taking advantage of the innovation of the Israeli state, which, by the way, is constantly done for the betterment of the world, Jay, I do not think that is intellectually consistent. The same people who advocate for BDS consistently go to these world bodies and advocate for Israel being wiped off the map.
You know, the Israeli academics are boycotted as part of the BDS movement, so I wonder if they're going to boycott the academic physicians if they did come up with this, with a virus, and they would boycott them from coming to their conferences to speak out on, to discuss how this was developed and how it should be administered. That just tells you what a fraud these agencies, that kind of movement is. And that's why I led with it today. Because it involves the coronavirus, but we've been fighting the BDS movement for over a decade at the ACLJ, twice at the United Nations, in federal court in Washington, D.C. So at the ACLJ, again, we don't just talk about these issues, Jordan. We are fighting these issues. Even right now, while everybody's on remote everything, we are still fighting these issues.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. I mean, we want to point this out now because this is a moment when the BDS movement, and we've had one of their supporters call in and say, well, it's selective consistency. And you, again, though, that kind of, again, trying to play with words like that is absurd. And I think it pokes the biggest hole yet in the entire boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, which has gained grounds on our college campuses and throughout Europe and other places. But if they're willing to take a vaccine from this evil, horrible, I mean, as the caller
apartheid
said,
state.
They are,
right.
Yeah, an apartheid state, and who are putting in these ethnic cleansing. He called it. He said that on the air. You don't take vaccines from countries that are carrying out ethnic cleansing. You know exactly what he's doing. That's propaganda that you don't actually believe that you're putting out against what you consider to be an enemy of your political positions. So you spread lies about them. But if that enemy happens to stumble upon the cure to what is ailing the world right now, you're happy to put that shot in your arm. You trust that regime enough to put the shot in your arm that they develop, the same ones that you say you don't want your professors working with, the same ones that you say you don't want companies investing in those research labs, but yet you'll put that needle in your arm to get that vaccine. To me, that is it for boycott, divestment, and sanctions.
Yep.
People should be jumping on this today from the movement that has been opposed to it and say, look, This is the absurdity.
A complete
if
fraud.
We are this, if we are what they tell us they are, they would never stick that needle in their arm with a vaccine we create.
They are a complete 100% fraud. We're taking your calls. Lois is calling from Oregon on line 3. Lois, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
So far, all the focus has been on working people and making sure they get paid. I'm retired.
Yes.
And receiving government annuity and also social security. And I just wondered, are those checks going to continue to come?
They will, and you will also be getting the stimulus. So you get both.
And I have to fill out paperwork for that, right?
Well, it depends. You probably have direct deposit. I would guess what Social Security is direct deposited, right?
Yes,
There'll be direct deposit. You will get a check. Are you married?
I'm widowed.
Okay. You'll get a check for
$1,250.
And let me tell you this also. There's already movement for, I'm going to go to Than on this really quickly here. Than, there's already movement to increase that allotment as it relates to the payroll protection.
Yes, Senator Rubio just tweeted this out that Leader McConnell, Leader Schumer are working on an agreement to actually have a voice vote in the United States Senate, Jay. So not bringing everybody back, but a voice vote on Thursday that would add another $200 to $250 billion to that program. What that tells me, Jay, is there's a huge demand for it. People are applying for it. The money is starting to flow, and they're going to add to it as much as possible. Good news on that front.
Yeah, it also tells me, and I think this is a really good sign, it tells me that they employers are really trying to be creative in ways to keep their employees, which I think right now as a CEO myself and our leadership team here at the ACLJ, and we've got a leadership, in fact, we have one of our board members on in just a moment. Part of our job, a big part of our job right now, is to keep doing your work, but try to maintain your employment base. And we employ a lot of people, and you've got to be creative. You got to be thinking out of the box, but that's, and the government, especially for these small businesses, I think they're offering a lot of help. But I have to also say something to our ACLJ members, and that you all have been incredibly generous to the American Center for Law and Justice, especially online. Let me encourage you on two things. If you get our mailings, and a lot of you do, if you can give it online rather than the mail, it's just a lot easier. It's very difficult to process mail right now. So online giving, of course, is a key. We are in an April matching challenge. It's a March and April challenge. And right now we're doing okay. Your support of that makes a big difference at ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. Also, our helplines are still open. It's all done electronically. So those of you that need legal help, you just contact it through ACLJ.org. We get you help. Also, stay engaged with us on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram. A lot of ways to get information. We come back from the break. We're going to hear from my friend, fabulous drummer, but great ministry leader too, Zorro, coming up right after this.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back. We're talking, obviously, about the coronavirus. We're talking about the boycott, divest, and sanction movement that we fought so hard against. It now has created an exception. They will take an Israeli vaccine or medications if those are effective in the fight against the coronavirus. They will consider that not to be subject to a divest and sanction order. So that tells you a lot right there. I thought it would be really helpful today to have on a good friend of ours who is a member of our board, Zorro the drummer. You've met him before. You've seen him on our broadcast. But he and I chat quite a bit, and he has a great ministry, Zorro International Ministries. I encourage you to check that out. But also, he's got a great message of hope. And especially in a time like this, I thought it would be good to offer hope. I mean, we're being prepared that this is going to be a very intense week. Zorro's going to come up via Skype, is my understanding. So, Zorro, we got you there?
I'm here.
I see you. You look like you're right here. right by my shoulder here. So, Zorro, you're obviously, normally you would be touring and traveling. You played with Lincoln Brewster, a lot of other very famous acts as well. You've got a great ministry. What are you telling people right now?
To have hope. I mean, I put my trust in the Lord above all things. The world is an uncertain place. This virus is just proving its uncertainty. The only thing that is certain is my trust and faith in God. In times like this is where you get a chance to develop faith, because I feel like faith is a spiritual muscle that every single human being possesses. We all have faith, but we have to develop that muscle. And it's in crisis times like this that we have an opportunity to develop that muscle. We all love times of peace and prosperity, but the truth is we only grow under pressure. And these are great times where we can choose to put our trust and faith in God. And as long as I've been alive in this world, the only thing that I realize is the most valuable commodity we can have on this planet is peace. The peace in our soul. And that's more valuable than money, fame, power, anything. But the only way I've known to have peace is to put my trust in something that's above me. And I put my trust in Christ. And that's where my peace comes from. Otherwise, there's plenty to be freaking out about in this world every single day. But I choose not to panic. I choose to pray instead of panic. I choose to trust instead of doubt, and get the focus off of myself and into serving others in times like this.
I want to bring in a caller, and then I'm going to ask Jordan and Than to participate in this. Ed is calling from New York. We've got Zorro on the via Skype. Go ahead, Ed.
Hi, guys. Thank you for what you do. I just want to make a couple comments. This is a perfect opportunity for us as Christians to witness to our loved ones and neighbors and friends, to go out of our comfort zone and tell people about the Lord and hand out tracts. I just think the Lord wants us to use this opportunity, and I think we should all read 2 Chronicles 7:14. We got to get on our knees as Christians, and the Lord will cleanse our land.
Well, I think, Than, you just wrote a book. My Fame, His Fame, His Fame being the Lord you were talking about there, and I think it ties into exactly what Zorro just said.
No question about it, Jay. I couldn't agree more. The caller referenced 2 Chronicles 7:14. The promise in that, if we do humble ourselves and pray, are twofold. One, that he's going to hear from us, and two, that he's going to heal our land. Jay, we certainly need that specifically right now. And I would just say this. Our foundation, those of us who do have a faith in Jesus Christ, has not been shaken during this time. These are very tumultuous times. But if we look around us, certainly tons of people have fear. A lot of people, the things that they have put their trust in have been shaken. Jay, those of us who have a faith that has not been shaken, our feet are still on firm ground. I could not agree with the caller more. This is an opportunity to provide that hope and to provide that eternal belief that can't be shaken by the things around us.
Yep.
To the people who are suffering fear. We've got to stand firm in that, Jay.
Zorro, one of the things is, look, there are a lot of people that are obviously we're all very concerned right now. We're concerned for our loved ones. There's a sense of you can't do enough to help people as far as physically, because we're trying to maintain physical distance, social separating, which, by the way, looks like it's going to produce a good result for our country as we continue to pray for that, reducing the number of people, although a lot of people are really sick. I mean, you got the Prime Minister of Great Britain in the ICU unit in St. Thomas Hospital in London. But there is this sense of hopelessness, or maybe it's not hopelessness. It's what can I do, because I can't get out there and do it.
Well, the first thing I would tell anybody to do is instead of putting all your energy and effort into watching the news and freaking yourself out and getting panic stricken and hysteria, is to spend that time praying. The most powerful thing that human beings have been given is the ability to pray for other people. And that is a powerful thing. All through Scripture, it shows that prayer is what changed the heart of God. The other thing that I've learned in just reading and studying the Bible is that God is not moved by need. He is moved by faith. There's great need that's been in the world ever since it's existed. But where God moves is when he sees faith. And how do you develop faith? You have to read the Word of God. So I would recommend to everybody, dust off your Bible if you have one. If you don't have one, get one. Get one online. But begin to read it. And I feel like we become whatever we do the most. So if we spend our most time worrying, that's what we're going to become, worrywarts. But if you spend the majority of your time feeding your soul and your spirit with positivity, and it's a attitude. I stay positive because I know that God is fully in control. And the Bible says that the only thing that pleases God, there's only one thing that mankind can do to please God, and that's when we believe in him. There's nothing else that we do that pleases him except faith. This is the time to exercise that faith, to put your trust in him. But how are you going to do it unless you learn about that faith?
Yep.
You got to read the Bible. You got to study it. You got to pray, because we become whatever we watch, read, or listen to the most. So spend that time with the Lord himself, because he's interested in personally knowing us, because he's a spirit and we're a spirit. So if you want to help people, the first thing to do is pray and intercede for people.
No question. I've been praying for Yeah, no question about it. Let me play what Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States, said yesterday.
I know I speak on behalf of every American when I say how grateful we are for each and every one of you. And in this very special Holy Week, I know millions of Americans are praying for our healthcare workers. I saw a picture that I sent out last night on Twitter. It was an article about a series of cities where doctors and nurses had paused to pray for the patients and the families that they were ministering to. And I just want to say to all those healthcare workers, I know there is a chorus of prayer going up every day for all of you. And with your continued courageous service and with God's help, we'll get through this. And we'll get through it together. Thank you all.
Zorro, that's what you just said is exactly what Mike Pence just said. We should be praying for our healthcare workers as well. That should be a top priority.
Everybody. And I want to read a couple of scriptures, you know, because more than anything in the Bible, it says not to fear. That's one of the most reoccurring things throughout scriptures, is the Lord telling us not to fear. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand."
Well, there you go. I mean, that is exactly what it's all about. Zorro, thank you for taking time out to be with us today. Zorro, what's the best website for people to get information?
It's just ZorroTheDrummer.com and ZorroMinistries.org.
Great organization. I encourage you to support them. They do great work, and he does great work around the globe, really. All right, we're going to come back. We got another 30 minutes, so stay tuned. We'll be taking a break. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. Jordan's going to tell you how to do that right now.
Yeah, at ACLJ.org. This is an important time, too, to recognize for folks. Online donations are the best way to get your support to the ACLJ. If you're financially able to, if you're still getting your paycheck, your normal paycheck, and making your normal donations and tithes, the best way to support the ACLJ is online. One, this is a matching challenge month. We do back-to-back, both March and April. But also, those direct online donations at ACLJ.org are getting to the organization directly while we're filing in court, like we did in Oklahoma yesterday and across the country. Donate online, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Yeah. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, we're going to talk about the economic stimulus and the coronavirus, but I've got to start where I started the program 30 minutes ago. The boycott and divest and sanction movement against Israel, they tried to delegitimize the state of Israel. Don't buy Israeli products, that's the boycott part. Don't participate, that's the boycott part. Sanction, actually charge them money. Divest, take your money out of Israeli-owned companies. Don't buy their food products. Don't buy their medicines. Oh, wait, no, we'll make an exception. The co-founder of the BDS movement said, we'll make an exception. If the Israelis do come up with a vaccine against the coronavirus, you can take it. Talk about hypocrisy, Jordan. On an unbelievable scale, there it is.
First of all, if you believe the propaganda that boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement puts out about Israel, you would be, if you actually believed it, you'd be very nervous about taking this vaccine, whether that's through a shot, whether that is through some kind of oral vaccine for this for COVID-19 that Israel develops. I mean, the truth is, you would be worried about taking it because, oh, that Jewish state, wouldn't they be poisoning us? Because they are involved in ethnic cleansing. We heard that from a caller today who supports the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. So you would never, never, if you actually believe that propaganda, put that needle in your arm or take that vaccine orally. So to me, this is it for boycott, divestment, and sanctions. This pandemic shows they aren't willing to actually stand by what they preach. And what they preach is dangerous hatred of Israel and the Jewish people, which is violent in nature and leads to violence. And by encouraging that, they are a dangerous movement, supported by a lot of dangerous elements, by the way. But at the same time, this is it. This is the biggest hole in their entire argument ever. You would never put a needle in your arm from a vaccine from an enemy, from someone that you call an ethnic cleanser, if you really believed that was the goal for the state of Israel, that they were trying to cleanse these people. Of course, they're absolutely not trying to do that. So this is, again, to me, just shows you how ridiculous boycott, divestment, sanctions is.
Let me go ahead and take Deborah on line two. Deborah, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
And thank you for what you do. And that was a fabulous last segment about things that cannot be shaken.
Right.
Yes. My comment was, if the people who are in the BDS movement got their stated way of wiping Israel off the face of the earth, then there would be less chance of a vaccine being developed as fast as there is.
Of course. I mean, look, I've been fighting them in federal court. We've been fighting them at the United Nations. But this just shows what a fraudulent movement is. We will never buy Israeli products, divest from their economy, sanction them. But if they come up with a cure for COVID-19 or a vaccine, use it.
We'll make an exception in that case, Jay. But look, this caller is on to something here, because the D in BDS stands for divestment. And I just want to say this very clearly. People need to understand this. If they are encouraging people to not invest in the Israeli companies that are making these breakthroughs, even though they'll take the vaccine, Jay, they are directly harming the potential that the world will get a breakthrough from Israel. So look, in order to actually do a complete about face on this, even though it shows their hypocrisy, Jay, they not only need to back off that, they actually need to promote investment into the companies that are developing this breakthrough. Otherwise, the breakthrough may never happen, and they may never get a chance to exercise that hypocrisy by taking the vaccine. They actually need to be promoting investment at this stage, not encouraging divestment.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Got a couple phone lines open. Also, Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends. Very important for you to do that. Get more people involved in the conversation. There's a lot of traffic on Facebook and Periscope these days, so it's a little bit harder to break through. So we encourage you to share it with your friends. That would be great. Don't forget, Jordan's letting you know how. Support the work of the ACLJ.
That's right. Remember, we filed yesterday an emergency brief and at the district court level in Oklahoma to protect life, standing with these states who were saying Planned Parenthood and these abortion clinics are not providing essential services during these outbreaks, during these peaks in these states. and they should not be able to open. They also take valuable PPEs away from healthcare workers. We're filing those briefs because of your support. Donate online now. Double your impact. ACLJ.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org.
In days like this, the country's been going through a lot. That tune with Ricky Skaggs, it was pretty, not to say it was pretty awesome. And there's a lot of music, by the way, available on Facebook now if you're looking. A lot of the entertainers are just doing live acoustic concerts. We had our friend John Schneider in right before all this really broke out. So we were able to do about three or four songs with him. One of them is Can't You See. We also did The Wait and then an original. I think we'll try to get one of them out. Probably The Wait or maybe Can't You See. We'll see. This week or next to try to lighten the mood up a little bit. We're going right to the phones, though. 800-684-3110. Phone lines are jammed. Let me go to Michelle. She's calling from Georgia. Michelle, go ahead. You're on the air. Hi, Michelle. All right. Michelle's not there, so we're going to go to Mary Alice calling from California. Hi, Mary Alice.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question in regards to college students that are going to school but also working. They are claimed as a dependent on their parents' taxes, but they do file their own taxes. Will they get the check?
So, Than, they're claimed as a dependent, so the answer to that would be no. They would not get it if they're claimed as a dependent. They file their own tax return, which means they're working. What you need to talk about to your tax preparer, have you already filed your 2019 return?
I believe she has filed her 2019 return.
Have the parents filed their 2019 return?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Because that maybe there may be better off than less than Jordan, maybe better off not taking them as dependents.
Yeah, I would definitely talk to your tax professional because if you are claimed as dependents, you will not get the stimulus as an adult. The parents would get it in that case, Jay. But look, again, because this is a 2020 tax credit, even if you didn't get it immediately, if your tax advisor said this might be the time to shuffle your arrangement, you might get it in the end. That's definitely a situation you're going to need to talk to a tax pro about, though.
Now, Jordan, there's also a lot of talk right now about extending it. Nancy Pelosi saying it, Mitch McConnell saying it, they need more money for the PPE, the payroll protection aspect of it. What are you hearing?
Well, so we're hearing that this week there's actually going to be another $200 to $250 billion. That would bring it up to almost, I think, we're talking about $600 billion available for employers for small businesses to keep their folks on the payroll. So to me, what's telling is that, one, the system's working. which is pretty unbelievable, actually, that that we've got such good leadership, people like Steve Mnuchin at the Treasury Department, who come from the world of kind of high finance, if you will, who were able to put this together using a lot of outdated technology we know through IRS and Social Security systems, and were able to get this, put the pressure on the banks to get these loans going, so that means that the amount of loan applications going in, it's great news that this many individual businesses, small businesses, are taking advantage of this loan, to the point that in a bipartisan way, Congress believes that more small businesses want to do this. That means they want to take on a loan that puts them in a position that says, we will continue to pay our employees for this period of time, 4 months is the initial one, and because we do that, that will become a grant instead of a loan that we won't have to pay back. So they are also making kind of an agreement with their employees. So this is great if you work for a small business. That it's a great sign to me that the system is working for people. So the applications are getting in, and what they're seeing is we're going to need more resources available here. Now, the flip side of that means that they believe that this crisis could continue longer than initially thought, so that employees and employers are looking at not just a month down the road, but 2 and 3 months down the road. And I think that's the one negative to it. But the positive is that even if they are looking down the road 2 or 3 more additional months, that they are trying everything possible to keep their employees on the payroll with full pay, with full benefits. I mean, that's a very, I think it's something that can be, it is bipartisan, and as Stan said, they're planning to do it on a voice vote to get those funds in, which means they believe they're going to be able to get these initial funds, not just the applications in, but they're able to get the funds out to people. And that's the important second part of this, as we talked about, Dad, is when the personal checks start going to people, and when these applications start getting turned into actual loans, when the money actually starts getting to the small business.
100%.
That's key in these next 2 weeks, because these small businesses are hurting, really hurting right now. All you have to do is drive down the road and see how many of them are closed.
No question. By the way, yesterday the Supreme Court issued an opinion in a case involving Wisconsin where they were going to allow, are you ready for this? The mail-in ballots could be dated after the election, and they were still going to count them. And the Republican National Committee challenged that, and it went to the Supreme Court of the United States on an emergency stay basis. My colleague, Patrick Strawbridge, and Will Consovoy from the law firm of Consovoy McCarthy, or my co-counsel in the cases for the president, that right now we've presented the briefs, we've not argued yet because of the stop in arguments right now. This case did not have to have oral argument. They went ahead and issued the stay and said, no, it is not constitutional to have a ballot dated after the election. And that's what some of these states are going to try to do to mess with the election. So getting on that early was important. I want to go to another call. But, Than, you also pointed out that the SBA is processing 12 times what they normally do.
Yeah, this is just to Jordan's point about what a good job I really do think Treasury and the SBA have done. Jay, they typically only offer about $30 billion in small business loans every single year. This initial tranche was $349 billion. That's almost 12 times. And then Jordan talked about maybe the additional $250 billion that's going to be added on Thursday. Jay, they really are doing a good job. One final thing, Leader McConnell also just issued a press statement saying that he and Leader Schumer are very close to an agreement on that Thursday voice vote. I don't think that press release would go out unless it was going to happen. Very good news. They're working together.
All right. We're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Sharon from Arizona. She's online too. Sharon, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you for my call.
Yep.
My daughter works for a small business.
Yep.
And they went to a big bank, which is one of the biggest ones in the country. And they said they were capped out and they could not give them a loan.
Yeah. So in other words, they reached their maximum capitalization. Is what that is referring to. And that's where this additional relief, Than's coming into play.
Yeah, there's soon going to be an additional cap to that. I would just tell Sharon, though, she should probably call another financial institution. Yep. There are literally thousands of them. Hundreds of them have been onboarded during this process. She should go to SBA.gov to get a list in her area, and some of them are national as well. That particular bank might reach like maybe a personnel capacity, Jay.
Well, the funds also reach a capitalization of what they've been allocated.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. But there are thousands a point of application financial institutions. She should not give up just because she got one.
You've got to be your own advocate here. And we saw that this weekend. We had a church that we were working on Sunday night. They were being told, you don't have a loan with us. We're not going to do it, even though it was their corporate banker. And lo and behold, they changed their policy. So a lot of it is, you know, it's just getting things up to speed. That's part of the process here. And I think that, look, Jordan, the SBA is having a hand and the banks are having a hand a lot of requests. And they're having to do it remotely.
And a lot more money than they are used to loaning out at a basis that is supposed to be very quick. I mean, usually if you were going to a bank to get a loan like this, the size loans we're talking about, to pay your entire payroll for months, that would not be something they were processing in at just for the bank side in a day off of two pages of information. So the truth is, I think that there's a lot of confusion still at the bank level. And that's why Than's advice is important. If you are going to one bank and they say, you know, we've capitalized or whatever excuse they give you, you could try. If that's your bank, I would work with them a little bit more to make sure that you're getting the right information there. But if you've got so many banks available to you, they are considered essential businesses. They are all open and operating. Make it your job to go from bank to bank until you find one that is willing to work with you in a positive way. You're going to have to put some pressure here sometimes because they are probably overwhelmed. But at the same time, I just want people to understand that this money is available to you. The application should not be so difficult of a process. But if you got to, it shouldn't, you know, having to go to another institution at this time when we're dealing with an epidemic like this, a pandemic like this, that shouldn't put you out too much, especially when you're trying to take care of your entire business.
All right. Let me say this also. I'm glad this is why it's great that we still do this live, although part of it's remote, as you could tell. We've got an owner of a bank who's going to come on. I'm going to keep him for the next segment. So we will proceed there, and we'll take some more calls. Let me quickly go to Shifra in Virginia. Really quick. You're on the air. Shifra, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. Quickly, please.
Okay. I just wanted to thank you for speaking on abortion on the air, because it really helped.
Listen, we've been committed to the fight for life for four decades, really. And we're going to continue that, and that included briefs going up this weekend on cases. So you're not making oral arguments, but the written briefs are going in. Again, that's why supporting the work of the ACLJ is so critical. We have a matching challenge for April. We're off to a good start. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. It's matching, so whatever you donate, we get a matching gift for ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. I sure do like the new logo, I have to say, when I get to see it like that. It looks great. Let me say this also, though, very important. If you donate to the ACLJ by mail, I'm going to encourage you to donate online. It's just a lot easier to process, especially in these trying times. ACLJ.org. Back with the last segment coming up. Special video on this win at the Supreme Court.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We're going to go right to our phones. Robert is the owner of a bank, and I thought that would be great. Robert, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, Jay. I've been a fan for a long time. Appreciate the work you do. Briefly, I want to clarify some of the things y'all were talking about this morning.
Be helpful.
Why the big banks and certain other banks have had to say, hey, we can't take any more applications. It's not because they're trying to be unfair, but most banks right now have liquidity problems.
Right.
And the problems are going to get worse because people are drawing down deposits, and then so the deposits are going down, and then on our lines of credit, our commercial lines of credit, these businesses are having to draw those up.
Yep.
So banks only have so much cash to get out through these SBA programs. It's not a capital problem. It's more of a liquidity issue. And once they're out of liquidity, I mean, they're in trouble. So there are limits, but they're imposed by economic factors, not because, and I'm not criticizing the program. And that's why a lot of banks are saying, hey, we only got so much liquidity. We got to save that for our
customers. So does that go to, Robert, that's what I was thinking. So it's a question of the bank has a certain amount of cash available, capitalization of the bank, so to speak, or at least cash available for lending, and you've got a dual issue coming here. The SBA, what people need to understand, Robert, and I want you to comment on this, is the guarantor basically here. They're not actually putting out the money, so to speak.
That's right. It's not coming. I don't want to get too complicated on you, yep. But what's going on right now behind the scenes is they're trying to establish through the Federal Reserve a secondary market. So when banks reach their fill, they can sell off those loans to the Fed.
Yep.
But you know, an SBA is doing a great job because it's like trying to swallow an elephant. I mean, under the circumstances, it's been remarkable. The portals are open. I'm getting loan numbers for my customers, but we still haven't figured out how to fund these yet. But I just wanted to clarify, it's not because the banks are being unfair or they're picking on this customer.
Nope.
They're just saying, hey, we've only got so much. Who do we get it to? I would stress to your listeners, you know, it's so important, especially for small business folks, to have a banking relationship with a community bank and a person, because that's when this pays off. That's when this pays off.
No, 100% right. Robert, I really appreciate you calling in, because, especially as a bank owner, and I appreciate you offering some insight on that, which is exactly what we've been saying. And that's why you got to be persistent in this, too. But I think one of the things Robert said is, you know, having a relationship with your banker makes this is, at times like this, this is where that comes in very, very handy, very, very helpful. Thank you, Robert. We appreciate it very much. Daniel's calling from South Dakota. He's on line 3. Hi, Daniel.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call, Jay. Before I tell you about what my comment is, I just wanted to let you know that your blue outfit matches very well with your glasses. And that's very excellent.
Well, the blue outfit, by the way, the blue coat, people say he wears it every day, pretty much. It's just, you know, there you go. So today we're color coordinated. By the way, tomorrow, I wouldn't say tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be fine. But you're going to see over the next weeks, it's going to be much more remote. So it's not going to be, we're not going to be in this studio. We'll talk more about that in days ahead, especially for Facebook. You'll have a special broadcast you'll be able to see. But anyways, go ahead with your comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that I really appreciate when you guys talk about God being with us and that he never forgot us. The caller quoted Isaiah 41, which really reminded me of Joshua 1:9. And I rather not quote those verses before I become emotional.
Yeah.
And so I become emotional when I feel anxious. So that's the comment that I wanted to make.
Well, I appreciate Daniel calling in. Look, I think you find a lot of solace in the scripture. I know believers are doing that. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. But let me tell you, those men and women, Jordan, those doctors and nurses and medical techs and the people that clean the floors of those hospitals are going into a battle zone.
Yes, and the zones are popping up around the country and new battle zones every day. And so whether you thought that, you know, you were in a zone that maybe it wasn't as bad, then, you know, the next day suddenly you've got these outbreaks of 40, 50, 60 people, which then quickly turns into 100 to 200. And so, yeah, and I think, you know, we talk about the doctors a lot, the nurses a lot. We have to remember everyone else at that hospital that's keeping that hospital going, from the janitorial staff, which is in just as much risk,
yep,
to the people keeping any kind of, keeping the doctors fed, keeping the nurses fed, the whole staff, everybody there, from the loading docks to the janitorial staff to these young new doctors, people who haven't even finished their boards that they're allowing, and nurses who haven't even finished all their schooling yet, who they're allowing to go and help because the need is so great. I mean, all of them should be in our prayers because they are the front lines. And as you see from, like, I think Boris Johnson is a good example. Prime Minister gets it, you know, has COVID-19, announces it, and then it was about a week until he got the symptoms that were bad enough to he had to go be hospitalized. Then he was in intensive care. Now he's on oxygen. Now they've said he's not on a ventilator yet, but he's in intensive care, and that's all within just about a week's time of getting the. He got the virus. He was self-isolating, and then hospitalized about a week later. I mean, that just tells you the seriousness of what the world is facing and our allies around the world are facing too.
Yeah, I think that's, look, I mean, I think this is exactly what we expect. I'm going to try to grab another couple of calls here. Let's go to Shannon very quickly. You're on the air. Shannon, line four.
Hi. My question is, I work a job where you have W-2s, taxes taken out part-time,
yep,
or now it's full-time, and then I also have had another business of my own, self-employed.
Yep.
I do not have a tax ID number, but I use my Social Security number when I file taxes because I do report to IRS.
Let me go right to Than on this. I know the question. Go ahead, Than.
Yeah, I mean, so there are a couple of things. She is going to get the stimulus check. The small business loan is going to be based on her payroll calculation,
right,
Jay. So whatever that looked like over the last month times 2.5,
that's
her
that's
own
be.
Salary.
Right.
That would factor in,
yes,
Jay, but I don't know where that would fall for her.
Yeah, so Shannon, you will qualify. You got to apply. You heard what the banker said. You got to do that right away and be persistent. Thanks for calling in. We're trying to grab the rest of these. Joan, in California, go ahead.
Yes, I'm very concerned because I've heard over a period of a decade or more that the Congress passed a law and the Senate went ahead and let it go through, that the government, if they run out of money, can access my retirement account.
No, that's completely not the case. And that's not the case at all. And this money's coming from General Treasury Fund, so you don't have to worry about that. Terry, go ahead. You're on line six. Last caller.
Yes. I've just been hearing about the Bill Gates and the foundation and mandatory vaccines, and I see a lot of your viewers as well are worried about it. Can you speak to that?
Well, there isn't one right now to be worried. I mean, we should be praying that they can come up with a vaccine. I am praying that they come up with a vaccine. Whether it'll be mandatory or not, that will be a question that will be determined by the government and health officials, and then there's usually religious exemptions. But with the nature of this virus, I mean, you know, it's totally speculation. To say whether it'll be mandatory or not. I mean, if there was an approved vaccine, I would take it. I want to protect my family and my coworkers. So that's how I view it, but everybody's different. All right, that does it for the broadcast today. Jordan's letting you support the ACLJ. We appreciate everybody tuning in.
You know, stay up to speed with us on social media, aclj.org, our social media accounts, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That's where you're going to find out about the cases we're filing. If you need legal help as well, aclj.org/help. Our attorneys are ready to help you if you face any kind of legal questions throughout this. We're working around the clock. And again, aclj.org to be part of our matching challenge. We're filing in federal court, I mean, more so now sometimes than ever. aclj.org, doubly impact your donation today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.